are recording now.
So do you want us to redo the approval of minutes?
That would be lovely.
Okay, so our first item of business is approval minutes of the November 8th meeting.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
I think we should, board took direct, gave direction regarding real property negotiations. At
255, sir.
Thank you. There's no one here to address public comments. Okay, so this item is
for your technical
grant.
True. I am Mark Bartis is on his way, so I know he's hoping to address you. So when he's, I just texted him to see how close he is. I know he hit a little traffic. Trevor, do you want to walk through the leading up to the CTE, the discussion you've had,
Sure. So the CTE thing kind of hit us at the last minute as the architects have been going through the campus, sort of opening all the closets, shaking all the skeletons. One of the things we've talked about with Santa Cruz High is the fact we have this massive, great big building full of classrooms and office space. And what do we do with those people when we modernize it? It's a problematic building to work in because all the systems are connected. So you can't just like go easily work in a floor. But as we've dug deeper and deeper and deeper, we've discovered that a lot of the plumbing components, which was one of our biggest fears, was done in the last series of remodels, to the point where we're only working with sections of piping through the corridors. So it changes the way we approach doing the building. And at that same time, in discussions with one of the mechanical engineers, there's opportunity to create an HVAC ventilation system that will also kind of, we believe, be able to be managed floor by floor. So what does that do for us? It allows us to only move one floor out at a time, thereby only requiring, you know, one floor's worth of swing space or in-room housing. Then it dawned on us that one of the solutions that we talked about previously was, of course, building this building across on the corner where the old adult ed portable sits right now, to use as swing space and some new CTE possibilities. And that's when we said the two of these things need to happen now in order to be beneficial for us down the road. The CTE funding cycling only comes along once a year, and unfortunately this one came rushing up upon us. However, the advantage here is we have no risk. We may not get a positive application. We may not score enough points. We can also turn it down. So we won't even know what the funding cycle is until, I mean, whether we've been approved for funding until late January, I believe it is. Might be early February. So we have time to still consider looking at all these options with our plan process and what our actual construction might become. So we may get to a point where, okay, we don't really need it, but we still want the CTE or vice versa. So there's a lot of choices still to be made. But this is a real small window to get this funding to help us with this potential swing space and also future buildings that are brand new that we get to use when we're done for the CTE program. So it's kind of a win-win with no loss, other than this is not the best way to do an application because it is scored by points. So we want to get as many points as possible, which usually takes lots of effort, lots of thought, lots of rewriting, and you're writing it for a particular perspective. You're not necessarily writing it to be the best program. You're writing it to have the fanciest words, to make it sound the best. So it's an art form as much as checking boxes and filling in facts. The good news, though, and one of the other reasons that drove us through this, is every district is in the same boat. Most all districts are in the same boat. That this sort of comes up. They said it was open, but in order to put a package together, it takes a lot of time. There's a lot of people involved in doing it. So the chances of there being a lot of applications in this first go-around are small. So that improves our odds. So even if we don't score well, we still could easily be awarded money. So that's the other sort of caveat here, is there is a much higher probability of getting an approved package this time around than next time around. And these particular programs were chosen mostly because that's what we discovered at Santa Cruz High. We were right there in the middle of it. And a couple of them in particular are very well organized, and so they have a lot of information at their fingertips that they can hand off really quickly to give us an ability to make an assessment. Could we pull it off? And so that's kind of why it just sort of rushed at us at the last minute, if that makes sense.
So Trevor, I just want to add the context to that, that the COE is spearheading this as the CTE consortium for the county. So they invited all districts to participate, and there was about 6 weeks. It was really fast.
It jumped right out at us in a hurry, and we just.
The reason is when the state released the parameters, the application being available. Yeah. So that drove part of it too.
It was a really tight timeline, and one of the things that we found out also close to the end of the timeline is we needed to bring it to you for approval this week, so it worked out that we had this before.
Yeah, the applications are actually due Wednesday, which with any state agency, you can't actually put it in the mail. It actually has to be there in their hand on that time. Well, not knowing exactly how many people are going to be there, you may end up standing in line all day on the 29th. So the plan is to deliver it, I believe, on the afternoon of the 28th or in the morning of the 29th. But yes,
we have a delivery service scheduled for tomorrow and for the next day.
So my question comes when thinking about this and the parameters that you are given, that there will be the opportunity possibly in the next 2 years in Soquel Harbor Hall. Are we starting to work on the focus of what the CTE program would be so that you could have it at your disposal and then meet within the parameters? Because when I read some of those, like, who's having all these committee meetings that are, you know, without really a focus, it seemed like it was going to be difficult to meet the criteria to be having this in the wings waiting committee for OEA money showed up for more stuff. And then I was happy to know it won't be affecting the two what I call industrial art buildings that are so old at Santa Cruz High. So that's
we will be going for those next time.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not
right. They're not new buildings. They'll be modernized.
Those gentlemen, I can't remember. So they sat through when we had the exercise with the folks talking about these two applications. There was folks who know those programs there, so they became familiar with the process, and they're very supportive.
So that will help inform the next cycle.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, our CTE counselor, has incredibly instrumental.
Yeah.
She's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
In making this all come together and pulling teachers together, pulling the advisory committees together. She's just been amazing.
Yeah.
So,
Saturdays, evenings, we're having discussions. She was great.
And is thinking about what's next then and how do we bring, because she coordinates all, helps to coordinate all.
And we've actually already had meetings at SoCal about this exact issue, but again, it was kind of, we needed to focus on this particular one because of the advantages of it. The SoCal one may end up having similar advantages. We just didn't have the ability to jump on that one as quick. They weren't as organized.
And then if I could follow up. So as I understand it, you are not liable to take it. Should there be a change within our architect's schematics or approach or for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So it would be possible to be a true win-win where the master plan, as we shift the process for the public to know when they saw $1 amount that it came here because of the opportunity that was taken, where would we show that to them? How would we go about that?
So this is the effort we're having underway, Pat, and some of the discussion we're having about for each of those sites doing exactly that, just showing it to the public. From taking the boards that exist right now that specify projects and some simple timelines to a more detailed budgetary component we're trying to get into in the next couple of weeks and spell that out. What I think, too, As we have those discussions regarding the budget and sharing with the public what we're doing, when we revisit the overall master plans for the sites, if there are projects that are greater in cost, which we experience, than what was in the master plan, we have to talk about that process of how we're going to inform the public about how are we revisiting the priorities, right? So that's part of the discussion too. And we've said that, so that's what we're working on the budgetary piece too, which is going to dovetail to the boards that were produced that show the high level summer, winter, fall, and particular year for the projects we have in our way. The next piece is that next in-depth budget piece, which we're working on. We have a half-day schedule coming up to do that. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to know it was coming and that there would be a plan, because the public, which is always changing, gets stuck. And so part of a trustee's job is that they come to us and say, why did this go to here? And I feel personally responsible to be able to explain it out or to be able to show the process. It's always the process. It's not my decision as I try to explain it to people or theirs only. It's the process that brought us there.
Cindy, I wanted to ask about the, I think in each of the applications that it was in our draft form, the budget was to be determined. I was wondering, do you have those figures now? On part six, I think.
Still working on it.
So, let me see. This one is... this is information and communication technology.
Mm-hmm.
So let me be clear when we say our budget.
Okay.
So and I apologize for missing some of this, but when we apply to the state, I've done about over 20 of these. Okay. So we're going to apply to the state for a certain amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
At some point down the line, OPSE is going to call us and they're going to fight with us about the amount that we're requesting. So we're aggressive in the amount that we're asking.
Okay.
So I wouldn't call this a budget, but it's the dollar amount that we're asking for the total project. Okay. And that includes equipment. Okay. So and there's two applications for one building.
Right.
All right. So the first one, so this information, and this is the first time I'm seeing because we're working up to it. So it's $7.1 million, okay, for the ground floor, okay? So now what that would mean is $3 million would come from the state, okay? And overall, I should say, we think that the building is going to be between $10 and $12 million. And keep in mind what we have at this point is
two
diagrams, mm-hmm. Okay? And the other one is, let's see, this one's information. This one's 7.6 for arts, media, and entertainment. And I'll keep in mind, arts, media, and entertainment had a lot of equipment listed in it. Okay? And so what we did with the instructors is ask them to shoot for the moon and list as much as possible. And we're going to fight. What will happen is once it's scored and ranked and so forth, OPSE will call us and we'll debate the numbers.
How many square feet are we looking at here?
1,600. So, yeah, I think it's 7,000, about 7,500 square feet on each floor.
Yeah. 7,500. I was just trying to visualize what that is. Can you?
And so, okay.
Well, it's 100 by 75.
You're all familiar with the Santa Cruz High School,
yeah,
right? And where those portables are in the corner of Kings.
Yeah.
So that's the size of it.
So that's 100 by 75 what?
But no, it's two-story building.
Right, but you're saying...
there's parking on either side. There's parking on both sides of it.
What was that?
100 by 75 is 7,500.
Parking.
Yeah, so is that 325-foot wide, 100-foot deep portables on it? Is that where we get that number from?
We don't know whether it's going to be modular or stick-built or whatever.
I'm just trying to visualize, like, how much more that corner of the neighborhood.
It's going to be totally built out.
Oh, yeah. It'll be properly lined, to back the curve.
Okay.
Right. There'll be no parking space, in other words. Right. Okay. Then I could see that.
I can see that. Okay.
Yeah.
The building's 95 feet by 86 feet.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
And it's pushed really close to the property line in order to get that much.
And you don't need any zoning ordinance stuff from the neighbors because the height is within reason.
We'll probably want to do some sweet talking.
It'll be sub. Sorry.
As a good order of business, but technically, no.
It'll be subject to your CEQA process, though.
Yeah, I had a question, but other people.
Do you want to talk about that? Just everyone's benefit, Mark. Just talk really briefly about the CEQA process, really succinctly. Or maybe everyone understands what it is, and we don't have to. But if
CEQA is California Environmental Quality Act. AKA, quote, the EIR process. And there are various levels of CEQA that you might go through, from categorically exempt through EIR. There are rules in statute about the size and type of projects that you have to look at in terms of going through the process. And so we're going to be working on gathering lists of projects and having them go through the CEQA process for you guys.
Patty and Cindy also have questions, mm-hmm. So
mine was just going to be, would it be unusual to get only one of the two grants? And if so, is the thought to only have the approach for the one, meaning that there would be a one-story 750 square building?
That is an excellent question. Okay. So, back when the regulations were being developed, that was present at a lot of meetings back in 2008, and there were discussions about how you would do a multi-sector building. Mm-hmm. Could you do multiple sectors in one application? Mm-hmm. And the state decided to say, you must do one application per sector. Mm-hmm. We were not happy about that until we started to do applications and realized, oh, that's good. You can have multiple applications for one building. When you cost estimate this, it's a weird game that you're looking at because we were laughing about it in the office. The first floor doesn't have a roof.
That's true.
And the second floor does have a roof. And so the way that we estimate these costs is very interesting. So we actually talked about it. The best way is to slice it vertically. Mm-hmm. Artistic interpretation of the method of cost estimating that goes on. I would think that at some point you'll decide if you only get one of them, you might say, let's not do it. Or you might say, okay, let's do another application to get a better score on the second one. Or you might relook at the budgets.
Mark, just point of clarification, folks, too. I'm sure. Can you remind me what the turnaround time is for them to review these and score them? It's fairly quick, isn't it?
It's end of January or beginning of February.
So I thought.
Yes.
Planning-wise, we can incorporate that.
May I
please
elaborate on that, though? So January 30th, I believe, basically. February, we'll find a score. Okay, we'll get a score. And if you know the following, somebody cut me off, okay? All of the applications in the state will be ranked by score, okay? And they will be ranked in an urban, suburban, rural methodology. In other words, the best of all scores will go first. Say it's urban. Then they will only look at suburban and rural. And then they'll take the best one of those, etc. And they'll do a round-robin approach to ranking them. So these scores from CDE, from California Department of Education, will then go to OPSC, the Office of Public School Construction. And with each of those applications, there will be a dollar amount associated with it, right? So then they'll add up the dollar amounts until they get to $125 million in this round. Okay. Now, what's interesting is sometimes school districts rescind their things, or you might decide you don't want to do yours. That money goes back into the pot, and numbers and applications go up. You have to get a minimum score of 105 to be considered, and it goes up to 140. Oh, so in the timeline, okay, February will be scored. Then it goes to OPSC to go through the funding process, okay? And then it'll go from OPSC to the SAD, which is the State Allocation Board. So it's most likely those projects, not to jinx anything, so those projects which will be funded, the apportionment will probably occur in September, okay? And then from that point, you'll have 12 months to design and get the project approved by ESA.
And part, just really quick, the reason I asked Mark to talk about that too, because the conversation we were having a short while ago about the budgets and informing the public, that type of information to weave into the budgeting conversations too, when you see that the knowledge we have about potential significant funding is delayed a little bit. So we, in what we present, we will try and condense it in verbiage, but let them know that this is part of the process we're going through right now, which has a big domino effect on what we do in the sequencing of project and site.
Okay, well, do you start your questions again?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Jeremy's
not. Okay. Just so I understand the big picture, I think it's great to be able to get this together in a short amount of time. It's very impressive. So I'm, from what I'm hearing, all the teaching staff, all the faculty involved in this have been fully involved. And the money then, now let's say we are asking for 7.1 for the computer science piece and 7.6 for the arts and media piece. So our expectation is, at the best case scenario, we would just get a portion of that.
Yeah. So the best case scenario is you'd be getting $6 million.
Right, okay.
The maximum they'll give you is 3.
Got it. Maximum is 3. Okay, that's what I clarified then.
Jeremy?
Yeah, so let's pretend that this best-case scenario works out, and we're good to go on $6 million, and we think that we can build the whole thing for $13 million. All right? Is it? Am I following you correctly, Pat and Trevor, in thinking then, okay, we don't do anything to Santa Cruz High to create any temporary swing space until we build this. Then we build this, and these classrooms, although not meant for general ed classes, become for a while that swing space. And I'm counting, let's say I can conceive of 6 classrooms, 3 on each floor. They become our 6 classroom swing space, and we just kind of jimmy it and hope it works as general ed classroom for a year while we do the main building. The main building's done, and schwoop, da-da-da-da. Then they become what they're supposed to be. Is that what you're getting at?
Just don't tell the state we're doing that.
Nixay on the Ixay on the problem.
Yes, and when you look at the square footages, we will get probably 6 per floor.
6 per floor?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not seeing that, but that, you know, I see. Because you got, okay. I see, because you don't have to build it out completely. You can keep it fairly empty, and then the next
flexible space,
which then becomes specific space to the robotics.
Some of them may be a little tighter than a regular classroom.
I understand.
Some of them
so
may
then
be
you're
larger.
Looking, and then, so this really would, and not that it's utterly relevant, but a follow-up question: what would have been your ballpark figure for just building 2 portables, which you would have for a couple years of swing space and then tearing them down and they go away?
The cost would, other than, you're probably looking at, I would guess,
$300,000.
The 2 portables. We're talking about if we did the building in portables temporarily. Yeah.
Let me rethink my question and get back to you on it. So, but
in order to create swing space, that's the equivalent of that.
Yeah,
I mean that's basically the equivalent of 10 to 12 classrooms.
Oh,
and so yeah, you're probably looking at a million plus. We haven't looked deep into that yet because we were looking for alternatives.
In short, the narrative that we need to keep in our heads, would you agree, is that not only would we have essentially matching funds, about 50-50 for these fantastic classrooms, but we would also be saving perhaps at least $1 million on swing space as well.
Yes.
So it's in our interest to make sure. Where does this have to be delivered to? Sacramento. Who's driving?
Bottom line delivery. So the other thing, if I can jump in there, in terms of swing space,
yes,
is we're working carefully with Trevor and the site staff to look at site utilities and modernization of what actually has to be done on campus and what can be done in summers and what can't be done.
Right.
Okay. And if you've been into the Home Ec building over there next to the cafeteria, it's a real sort of can of worms there. And so a big thing that Brent Klein brought up that we started looking at recently is we think we can make classroom space out of that. So as we're discussing things, that's coming up in the priority level to do something that we, because I don't know that much is displaced in there if we renovate it, okay? And so that might create, we thought, maybe three classrooms also. And then in the main
classrooms.
Yeah. In the main building, we're looking at ways to minimize the utility replacement in there, so we don't have, we can't say this yet, but our goal is to try to minimize how many classes would have to be moved out of the big building.
Swing for that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're still learning about it. Mm-hmm. But our goal is to not spend money on things that you have to get rid of.
Okay, so we have a staff recommendation to approve the grant application. Are there any more questions before we someone makes a motion? Move approval. Second, Deb. All those in favor?
Aye.
All unanimous. Thank you. Thank you all for
it's great thing.
Big
time for this special meeting
for the
excitement.
Very exciting. I'd like to make a suggestion that we go ahead and we move item 6.2.4, which is the Bartos Architecture Agreement Project Program, and up.
Which one item?
6.2.4, just it's sort of flows with what we just discussed. Do I have to get a motion for that? Okay.
Yeah, it's our recommendation that. I thought you said you need a motion.
I wasn't sure, but
okay.
To move it.
But Nancy said the same thing. So
we're good.
Okay. And then I was waiting for it. Okay. So, yeah, we're bringing forward an amendment to the master agreement we have with Bartos Architecture to assist us with a variety of different tasks, which we've outlined for you in your board pad, to provide us these services on an as-needed basis. We went through a process of talking to the different architectural firms to learn who might be interested in providing these types of services, and Bartos Architecture was willing to do this. This is a really integral part of our process. It's a lot of planning, it's consulting, it's reviewing site master plans with the teams, developing a district-wide budgeting and helping us with reporting, presentation information for us, cash flow predictions, producing information for us on an ongoing basis, a fiscal year basis, that we can provide to you planning-wise, and cost tracking of projects relative to the budget. So a lot of it's budget assistance and program management assistance, district-wide program schedule assistance. As we get to that part two, if we have to revisit the prioritization of different sites, they can assist us with some of that communication piece too, in partnership with
Clifford
Moss, thank you. So there's a variety of different tasks under program management that Bartos Architecture is going to help us with. And this is part of the overall organization support we're bringing forward to you as well in the agenda tonight, the request for an additional position to assist us. We brought on, you approved recently a similar type of agreement with Bogart Construction, who can be used on an as-need basis. And this is going to help us get kind of caught up and then move forward. And in conjunction with the resources we bring on board, Bogart Construction, I was going to say Miller Brown, yes, that's the attorney. It's Clifford Moss, thank you, communication piece. The internal resources we're bringing on board in Bartos will work with the multiple architecture firms and with us on these variety of different tasks. So we're bringing forward this recommendation to you tonight to approve this amendment to the master agreement we have with Bardis Architect to provide us with additional services.
Yeah. So it seems fine to me, but what we don't have as part of this is the reporting. So one of the things we've talked about is that our communication needs to, you know, notch up a bit. So I'm fine with this, but I would like to see expenditures for Bartos Architecture updated, you know, I don't know, what does one do? Monthly, quarterly?
I think quarterly is a really reasonable thing, Jeremy.
And then that's agendized.
Absolutely.
And we give it an hour, yeah. And we Mark talks to us.
Absolutely.
And some other people from, let's say, Bogart Construction talk to us. And so that's implicit in here.
Well, it's actually called out, it talks about development of district-wide / program budget reporting.
Can you show me where that is?
It's right here, Chairman. The board pad, so it's under...
Oh, he doesn't use board pad.
Is it under... I'm in Exhibit A.
I pushed the button. There it is. It's on page 104 under district-wide program budgets and costs. Development of district-wide / program budget reporting.
Yes, site project-specific budgets by other final budgets to be determined by district. Okay,
is that you?
And you're imagining quarterly reports.
I think quarterly is a reasonable expectation, Jeremy.
Monthly is just over the top of it.
There's so much going on, and these guys were kind of redlined on this, but I think quarterly is a reasonable thing to expect.
Is that standard practice?
What I think of, too, Jeremy, is if you look at what our reporting cycle is.
Yes.
You have your DOT budget, your first interim, your second interim.
Right.
I think in conjunction with that, you have bond budget.
I like that. Would it happen at the same meeting or before? Or?
Well, technically, it's those costs are embedded in those reports, but
right.
To call it out as a separate item, I think we can work together with Mark's team to do that.
Do you want a... I'm wondering, I'm just talking out loud here, fellow board members, whether we want to put that in here, that it will be reported out quarterly, or we just leave that and know that that's coming.
Oh,
yes, Mark, please.
So actually I say that it's basically up to you, by annual, quarterly, or monthly as requested.
Do we
so
make that
if
request
you want to
now,
cross or? Off one of those, you could do so. Or you could leave it that way and give yourself flexibility.
It gives you the flexibility, Jeremy. I would just in terms of pacing the content of board meetings, you do receive quarterly report. You receive the interim reports from the district, and because you have that flexibility, we can make the request. I think that I wouldn't suggest changing the language, because you might ask to push it back, you might ask to accelerate it. So it gives you flexibility, like you said. On an as-needed basis, you can say, hey, we have some coming up, we would like an update, and we can do an update then, but we can work on kind of...
Rather than limiting ourselves, we go quarterly, and allows us to stay monthly if we need it.
Thank you.
Patty?
So I'm trying to understand, and it's a two-part question, in part for what came from what you just answered, Pat. These reports would be to the committee, the bond oversight committee, board, and the bond oversight committee can bring it, because, or is it just directly to the board? I'm trying to figure out, and I'm trying to see the asset of the bond oversight committee so the board can get back more to the level of the day-to-day operations of the district in schooling, as opposed to what's happened in some areas as we're trying to set the parameters and help the organizational flow here. So would it go to both? Should the board decide? I'm not wanting to parse the language or change anything. I just want to make sure that it's covered that way, that those reports would be going both ways. Because I would think that at a certain point, we would want all the minutia of this to be going. We could know, we could look into it that way. We don't have to take it into that detail at the board meeting level.
So there's another line in there that talks about reporting and assisting with reports to the oversight committee.
Okay.
I think the reports could be exactly the same or slightly different because of the different interests and purposes of both.
Okay, and so that's where my question comes from, and you can help me to understand how it's done, what standard practice is. because you're an entity that is already contracted to do work, and you're oversighting your own contracted work, where do we protect ourselves as a community?
I'm not oversighting my contract work at all.
So what I'm doing is
providing you a report. Okay, he and she are oversighting our work.
And the oversight committee.
So what we're doing is tracking what the costs are through a database, and we're compiling information.
So you're tracking the cost. You are not necessarily paying the invoice.
That's
in the other sector, and I just wanted to be clear in my head. Thank you. That answers my question.
I'd like to be perfectly clear. We are not like hiring anybody. We're not making that type of
perfect. And that's what, for the public too, because they see this entity who's been awarded this contract, and then they see, oh, but they're reporting to you. Well,
we don't approve any invoices.
Thank you.
I just very quickly, I think the key word is for the public. Therefore, I'd like the report to come to us as a board as part of an agendized, part of the agenda, and the public would be more likely to come to a board meeting. What the bond oversight committee does with the reports, they can figure that out. But I really feel I'm a little worried we're a little bit behind in terms of communication and nobody's fault transparency to the public. So I'm really looking forward to those first reports coming in for the board hears from various people, main players, and this is where we're at in black and white. This is how much we've spent and so on. So that's it.
There are further questions or comments?
In terms of the organization, so would Marcos be part of the bond project core team
Okay, that's the recommendation that we approve this agreement for Barclays Management Services. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Do we have a public?
I'm sorry, who is the second?
We do now. Thank you for reminding me. Sorry. Rocco, would you like to, anybody else like to make questions or comments on this item?
Okay.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And I'm sorry, who was the second?
Me.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. So now we move back up to the Bond Oversight Committee member.
Yes, we brought, we brought multiple names forward to you this evening for your approval to the Bond Oversight Committee. And I know some of these, but some folks I don't know and I have not met as of yet, but I understand that that these are folks active in the community and are very supportive of the district. So we're bringing forward to you these recommendations to approve of the following individuals who are in your board pack.
Patty.
So thank you for bringing members forward. I understand that it's been difficult, and I thank you for seeing the email stating the outreach. For me personally, I have tried to think about what an asset an oversight committee can be, though they have no authority to change anything, and it is not in a PTA kind of level that sometimes people get caught up into. It is, from my opinion, should reflect the entire community at best. And the laws say that we have to have 5 specific types of members, which I think we're on our way to and will continue to reach for this taxpayer association. And I put an email out in hopes to find an area to find that. But I have concern with some things, and it has nothing to do with the people who have stepped up for this. It's just that when I go and I wanted to frame and think about what I want from a robust committee, one who would be, that the public would feel they can go to and stay sort of out of the board level on these questions. One of the things that I looked up and thought about was that a BOC member shall be truly independent of the district bond program by having no significant historical or personal ties with vendors, contractors, district staff, or board. So we have a list here, and four of who are coming forward. And when I looked at the applications of the four, Mr. Teisling put in his applications what his qualities to serve. But the other community members at large did not. And some, though not to the letter of the law, have a direct conflict, maybe sharing a housing situation or a relative of. And I'm not comfortable with that, even though they're good people. And I thought about this in retrospect because I know one of the at-large members that we approved that I was personally excited about when I thought about it has a spouse that works within the district. So I personally am looking to ensure the most transparency and best interest of the public, because this is the public piece. That I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't say that I cannot vote for Mr. Meeker, and that I would hope that the board would also reconsider Mr. Wersch, and we could have a conversation with him, or the district could, because of the appearance of a conflict. I mean, my husband and I share quite a bit of information together, so we're a team, and not that school board matters do, but I think of husband and wives as teams, and so it's something for the board to consider.
You know, the board may choose not to do that. Angela Meeker is the principal at Delta. Delta is an independent charter. She is not an employee of the district.
But it just, even the fact that we have the name, and that Mr. Meeker worked in the Campbell district along with Mr. Gaffney, who is our director of finance, I think it puts, it isn't something that I'm personally comfortable with. This is will of the board. I think that it's my due diligence to have this conversation. I believe there are many people out in the public. I'm appreciative of the email that shows the outreach, but I think the purpose is not to reach out to the teaching community and only those in support of the school, but the entire community who pays taxes. So I think it's an opportunity for the board to say, okay, listen, we haven't gone out of the gates the way we wanted to in this matter, but we have the opportunity to make a robust committee that will be there to serve the public, not the district.
Are there any other comments or questions on this?
You mentioned Mr. Meeker and then Mr. Wersch.
Mr. Wersch's wife is in one chair called.
And Mr.
Yes.
And is that Kent? I'm not. I see a Kurt Meeker.
No. Mr. Wersch, we approved at our last meeting, and upon thinking about this,
I see.
You know.
What did you read from Penn?
I did mention last week that there's a California League of Bond Oversight Committees, and they have some operational guidelines. These are a matter of approach. Some of their information is direct from Ed Code, such as what the district has brought forward. Some is their particular mission, but I think that we have the opportunity to have an alliance with the Bond Oversight Committee. This is my personal thought because I see them as the true voice to the public of ensuring that the district has done what they are doing. It's no implication that they're not. But for the district to say that they are and the Bond Committee to say that they are two different things in the public's eye. And so the public, I just don't feel comfortable. It's not at my threshold accepting Mr. Meeker and then asking that the board reconsider Mr. Wersch for this.
Well, Mr. Hauser is also a spouse and a district employee.
So now here's what's been coming forward to the board. you can, perhaps you could think of it, I try to see it from the taxpayers' eyes. They're not within the circle. They pay their taxes. They want to know. They may not necessarily understand, and what comes forward is that the committee has asked, that has been appointed, is relatives of those who work within the area they're trying to oversee. I just find it a conflict of interest personally.
So I know Mr. Hauser from the city schools housing committee with UCSC. He's the director of housing of the UCSC. You know, part of, you know, any of our networking is using those people we have relationship with in committees to make this happen. Colleen Harrison is from Rotary, from my Rotary Club. You help us get Tom Parker, who's also from our Rotary Club. So it's all, and Bill Teisling we have a relationship with through the chamber as a retired chamber person. So it's, you know, we're all calling on our relationships and conversations with people in the community to support us. If the board chooses to ask us to move out and ask for more people, I would delay the start of our committee, and we could do that.
Sheila, did you have your...
My sense was that you have done a broad search, and I wanted to make sure that that's true, that this has taken a while.
We sent an email out in the spring to all the parent leader groups. Mm-hmm. We I talked to principals to say, do you have recommendations of people for us to talk to? Tapped a lot of people. We, you know, called people we worked with, called Bill, who worked with us on the Parcel Tax Oversight Committee. I worked with Steve on the Housing Collaborative Committee at the city. And I called Mr. Meeker because I know Mr. Meeker, and I knew he would be willing to serve, or I thought he might be willing to serve. Mm-hmm. So just reaching out to different people in the community. He's a former parent in the district and committed to service in the district. So it's trying to get people who are willing to serve. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On the committee.
I mean, I see your light, Jeremy. Delaying the start of the committee is a concern because there's been concerns on the board about that. My only other, I would suggest if there was a concern of an agreement that, I mean, we could, just as we did when we advertised for the open position, take an ad out in the coastlines and, you know, looking for community at large members who are willing to serve. I mean, it would definitely delay. We could probably get a handful of applications, I would imagine, but we'd have to also put in the parameters, know this, know that, know this, right? Which does make it difficult. I mean, it's a small town, but that would be my suggestion if that was the word.
Patty, could you just read that again?
It's a guideline
from selection. From the I forgot.
California League of Bond Oversight Committees.
All right.
So it says the BOC members shall be truly independent of the district bond program by having no significant historical or personal ties with vendors, contractors, district staff, or board. So I understand that you looked within your community, the reach, but I think the reach has to be to the taxpayers, not just within your community. It is a small town, Deb, I hear you, and I could get more so behind if it were in the newspaper, but to say that you ask the PTA and such, it's not what I consider truly true oversight. I'm not comfortable with it. And actually, I did not know, especially anybody who's married to a direct employee.
Cynthia.
I'm sorry, I can't read my
lines. The context of those guidelines, it strikes me that the freedom, the independence of an oversight committee is most critical in regards to vendors, contractors, you guys, Pat, us, Chris. The fact that a couple of these are related to teaching staff, in one case the principal of a charter, that doesn't bother me. I don't think there'd be a conflict of interest there. I'm no expert on this, but that's just my interpretation. And to have somebody who's totally unrelated to the schools, yeah, that might give an extra degree of space. But personally, I'd be comfortable with these. I wish the applications had had a little more meat to them in terms of why I should be on the board. That made me a little uncomfortable. But that's the only thing that made me a bit uncomfortable. But I trust the judgment and the outreach that the superintendent and others have done. And these members were served, if we were to approve them, they serve at maximum 2 years?
It's 2 years. They can be re-upped for up to 3 terms, according to our bylaws.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. I think it's very valid to bring it up. I don't have the same level of discomfort.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Just a follow-up. I went on the website, and I know that it says that there's a bond oversight meeting, but there is no agenda on our website. So is that to happen?
I don't do those. Catherine does.
This is
it's a Brown Act meeting, so there has to.
This
be
is an orientation, agenda. Chris. For
it's an orientation.
It's informational for them. We distributed information to them. Next month there will be
can you under Brown Act even have that and post it as a meeting without an agenda just to say that it was organizational? I mean, I don't know. And so I'm uncomfortable. And I understand, Deb, that you're talking about, you know, we're delaying. We have a year. And I've been asking for a year.
I agree.
I think that we've had some bumpy areas. But if we really, I'm hoping the board can see it in the appearance of, not only have we, I can understand your personal level, but for me that personal level went up a notch when we are almost a year behind getting an oversight committee and then other pieces of an organizational chart. So I'm looking to, you know, I lean harder the other way. It's not just my will, it's the will of the board. But I want my message to be heard because the public comes to me and they do tell me things and I bring the concerns forward and that's my job. I'm the elected official.
Okay,
and
I think
Nancy
got an answer for you.
Just in thinking out loud, and I haven't really been keeping track of anything, but I'm thinking that tomorrow night shouldn't be advertised as a meeting. Perhaps that's the problem, is advertising it as a meeting. Maybe it should just be advertised as an orientation.
But
and
it has been on the website as a meeting because that's where I...
And I don't know because I'm not involved with that.
I have to talk to Catherine what she posted. I don't know. If I,
yeah.
Sorry.
We let the committee members know it would be an orientation with this information shared.
But what we've let the... The oversight committee's purpose is not for what the district wants. It's to ensure the public's peace. So we can let them know all the reasons that we didn't do it, but when are we going to hold our own feet to the fire and
okay,
say, you
so
know what,
issue
we're not
hand
there.
Okay, so the issue at hand is it needs an agenda if it's going to be held tomorrow. And the agenda hasn't been published 72 hours in advance. So do you cancel the meeting or cancel the orientation, or is it a moot point if we don't move this issue tonight?
What was the last thing you said there?
Or is it a moot point if we
don't
move
this
issue tonight?
There's a technical question regarding the meeting to be held tomorrow night. And I would have to... I have to talk to Chris about that. I'm sorry.
We can postpone it until next week. Yeah, my recommendation is that you postpone it until next week and you advertise. We post
yep.
it with the agenda.
Yeah, we just sent out.
And label it an orientation.
So the agenda wasn't
That's
published.
My suggestion.
Yeah.
That's just a suggestion. So, Jeremy.
Yeah, I like that idea. Because then that, and we can also, that segues us into this idea of we've just got lots of people overworked and, in my opinion, probably also underpaid doing time and double time and triple time. And it's just one of those little things where let's get this right from the very beginning. So this is something where we could put it off 1 week and then have an agenda, and then we'd be fully fine under the Brown Act. And then start right from the get-go. So I really like that idea. But I also would add that it speaks to the fact that we need more people working with us on this bond, more hours per week on it, and someone focusing just focus on the communication aspect. This falls under that heading. So I appreciate Patty raising this.
So the issue, so the item before us is to approve this roster of members.
Right. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm just bringing us back. Right. So we've heard concerns. Did any other members or the board have questions or comments? Sheila?
Well, it's just a comment. I can understand Patty's point, although I always feel like there is the 7 degrees of separation thing. But it does sound to me like when you talk about further reaching out to the taxpayers, that in fact that's what Chris was doing, in getting people who were in Rotary and, you know, that kind of thing, that the fact that they also were involved with the school, I have some hesitance because of that, but it seems to me that what your biggest point has actually happened, which is it was an effort to get people who were taxpayers, who understood the field, who understood what we were dealing with, and who were willing to serve.
Actually, my point was not that. Mine was that they were, the words that ring true for me, and this I use because this, not because I follow this particular practice, but it put into words how I personally feel, Cindy, is that having no significant historical or personal ties. So, yes, there is, I know this is a small town and 7 degrees of separation, but to only go within your circle says that you're only going to go within your ties and the reach. And so when Deb suggested we could have put it in the paper, that's one of the first things I would have thought we did, as opposed to asking our principals and our, who have a vested interest in how these projects move.
I'm saying we didn't ask the principals. We asked the Rotary.
It was on the website?
Yeah. It was on the website, and I believe it went into the paper
so,
in the spring.
So the answer, and I'm not sure if you were able to get your emails before, but there's written answer to how it did that. I just personally am not comfortable with a person who is married, someone who works within the district. I believe that we are the, do we not charter? Are we not the charter for Delta?
We are the charter.
So there isn't enough. I say
okay.
That though. You're saying technically.
I'm going to move on to Dee because I've heard your argument against what Dee's pro light on. So
what I'd like to suggest is that in the interest of time and the delay in getting a bond oversight committee together, and I personally feel like the district has done due diligence in making every effort to find committees for this committee members. And given that it's a 2-year appointment, that we move forward with this committee, and as we get close to the end of those 2 years, we try other means, other strategies to broaden our reach and broaden the search, and perhaps bring on other members that are less affiliated than some of these members are. I think these members will serve on this committee well, and they can represent our community and our schools, and I think we need this committee, and we need them to get going on the work that they need to do as soon as possible.
So there's a recommendation from staff to approve this roster of committee members.
I just have one question, and the reason being is that according to the agenda when I read it, it was
member.
So can we take them individually?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so the first one is
Colleen Harrison.
No,
actually,
it was going to
William.
Oh, William?
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. I've got the list. It's William. Who else?
It's William.
Heisling, and then
Kristen
Steve Hauser, Steve Kurt Nieper, and then John McElvey.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve William Tyson to the committee?
Move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, is there a motion to approve Steve Hauser to the committee?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Is there a motion to approve Kurt Meeker to the committee?
Move approval.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
And finally, is there an motion to approve John McKelvey to the committee?
Move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. So this will be moved, this meeting tomorrow night with these folks, we move to the following week and then
yes.
Okay, so our next item is construction projects manager job description.
Did you just say?
Oh, I just confirmed with Chris. I'm sorry, I should have muttered it. This orientation for this group of people, we move to a date next week, and it'll be noticed, and we'll be informed of the date, and then the agenda will be published 72 hours in advance.
Correct.
Yep, sorry, I'll be right there, Ronnie. Sorry. So we're bringing forward to you tonight for approval of the construction facilities project manager job description. This is a position that existed previously in the district, and going through the process of, I understand that this position, when they went through the revisions of all the different job descriptions, was taken out. So we're bringing back to you a job description that formerly existed. This will provide Trevor with additional support. And it itemizes the type of work that this individual will do. So we're making the recommendation to you to approve this particular job description.
As a part of the overall, and it also is Trevor's provided, or not Trevor and Pat have provided the Bond Fathers organizational chart. So this particular position is a part of the project core team and will answer to Trevor, and will oversee the project coordinator position. Which we interviewed for.
Trevor's meeting.
I did formal interviews Wednesday.
Okay.
Fingers crossed everybody, please.
We have some good candidates, so.
Jeremy, have a question?
Yeah, so as I emailed Chris with questions earlier, I was prepared to vote no on this for the simple reason that I don't think we're doing enough to putting the team in place that we need to step up our game in the area of communications and in the area of just simple bookkeeping. And I've had conversations, and I really want to thank Pat and Trevor again. But I still have some questions here. When we look at, for example, and I'm getting to the questions, so bear with me. When we look at I'm on page 89, there's a bond projects organization chart. So the position we're hiring is this construction facilities project manager in the around the $100,000 range. But this person reports to Trevor and Greg and Pat.
Reports to Trevor.
I've talked to Trevor, so we're sort of doing this dance out loud now. I just need Trevor's assurance that by hiring these positions, the project coordinator, which I believe we already approved, correct me if I'm wrong, last meeting, and the construction facilities project manager, you are freed up to spend as much time as you need on the bond as possible. And that, in the weeks and months ahead, if you find you don't have enough time to spend on it, that you don't wait, you don't delay. Come back to the board and tell us what we need. Because again, we're talking about 210 and with some matching funds, right, that we've heard about CTE stuff, potentially $215 million. If we end up spending 1% of that, $2.1 million or so, managing the bond, we're still spending 99% of the bond on the kids, on classes. So I don't want us to be, as I think we have been, particularly in the area of communication, penny wise and pound foolish. that we can just do this on our own because people are going to be superhuman. It would almost be as if, you know, there's a question here. I'll come back to it. I'll repeat. It would be almost as if, Dee Dee, you know, someone says to you, well, you're running this CSUMB program in education. Just take over the one at UCLA, too. It's just three times as large. And you say, well, you know, I can do it. So what I think we've made a mistake as a board. I don't think we've wrapped our head around the fact that this is a lot of money and we only get one time to do it right, particularly given the fact that we've got to go back to the public in 5 short years, 2022 is what we're talking about, to ask for over another $100 million. So, again, I really what I'm asking for publicly and I've talked to you privately is, Trevor, you really think that this team in place here can get the job done so that we have a best shot to do this perfect, or as well as we can?
I'll repeat what I said to you privately and publicly now, that at this moment in time, as we see it coming, this is what we need at a minimum. Now, that may change. It depends a little bit on how the projects roll together. The DSA, state agencies, OPSC, you heard Mark talk about some of those timelines. All of the projects get affected similarly by these different agencies. Even our local fire department, our local city, we have to coordinate some things with them, with PG&E. If things come together quickly, we'll probably need more people sooner. If they don't come together quickly, if they sequence themselves nicely, we may need no additional personnel. That I seriously doubt. I think I will be coming up talking with Pat and Chris. Down the road, a little ways, we need some adjustments in the way we do things in order to be effective and efficient with our time, so we do spend that bond money as crisply as we can. But right now, that's the vision as far as we can see it, because that's all we know.
Is this a one-year position we're looking at?
It's probably going to be a position that floats all the way through this bond, and if we time it well, we'll then carry on through the next one.
Okay.
So yes, it's not a short-term thing. It's a multi-year position.
Thank you.
Where does the part that Jenny's concerned about, the communications part, fit in this?
Well, this is the Clifford Moss thing. On
yeah.
The side.
Oh, that's Clifford
Moss. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'll be bringing a contract with Clifford Moss to the December 15th meeting. It kind of outlines how they're going to help us with newsletters and via an email blast format. We used that also with the SoCal and San Francisco High, or not San Francisco High, SoCal and Harbor High, around the correction on the state of South Maryland. And also just some consulting on strategy, communication strategy, doing that for the team, for the core team.
This looks really good to me in terms of where we are right now. I think maybe this was all in place in somebody's head, but it's really, really helpful to have it down on paper. I really appreciate that. Two quick questions. One is on the bookkeeping side and getting every PO coded correctly. Do you have sufficient staff to do that now in-house?
No, that's the new position I'm hiring, hopefully on Wednesday.
So that project coordinator person would take care of that piece? And there'll be some catching up, I assume. Have to go back over old deals, invoices, and get them.
I mean, we
coded correctly.
She'll work with Greg Tor, an accounting, she, whoever it is, to get that up to speed, and also with Mark a little bit. And so initially there'll be a little bit of coordination between the different groups. While Mark's doing the recording, all the big things for reporting, mm-hmm. my individual is going to be doing the bill paying, collecting the invoices, tallying them. Putting them against POs, putting them against projects, making sure they're in the right places, having those budget strings correct. So that happens from the in-house perspective, and then Mark's going to provide the reporting of all that, the collection of that data.
So the coordinator would do that as opposed to maybe an account clerk or whatever that title is in the business office?
Yeah, they'll be managing all the bond funds and...
That position, Cindy, is... we have a person to do the accounts payable piece, and we have this person do all the accounting piece too. So it's so they're going to do multiple tasks.
The coordinator.
True.
Yeah.
Thanks. And I guess the other quick question was the site teams, you mentioned the site teams, are they like the principal and custodian and faculty? The site teams would fit in here?
The site teams fit in really underneath the architectural groups.
Okay.
So each, we work through the principals and they gather the teams, and then also through the principals we set up, we are going to be setting up more meetings with parent-teacher organizations and also community, do some community outreach to get them to come to those meetings and try to spread the word.
Yeah, the big communications piece. Maybe another iteration of this would include the site teams. You have it in the verbal.
Yeah, the site teams vary a lot. So you'll have two or three people that are really consistent,
uh-huh.
and then you have kind of a larger group that come and go because they can't always attend the meetings.
Depending on the project, it's
Yeah, whether there's a lot of interest in it or not interest, but the hardest thing is just scheduling meetings to get people to come to and trying to drive a timeline. That's one of the hardest things to do. These folks are busy, and this is sort of an added thing that they have an interest in, but not necessarily really need to be. So getting them together on a timeline is hard. I mean, Mark can speak to this, and his staff have done a great job corralling the people, but it is really hard, and so... we have our meetings anyway, and if people don't show up, you know, we try to communicate as best we can, but if we don't move forward, we don't go anywhere.
Okay, thanks.
Patty.
Thank you, Sabina. My questions are long, then. Thank you for helping me to understand where this position is. And when I look at this chart, I'm happy to have it. I do think that there, for my mind, it would help to know that as you are running your district employee jobs and schools are running day to day, that we have this house of books, that we have the codes to know that, and then the bond side of it in the mirror, so what goes back and forth, if it's 80-20 and how you work that. But my second question comes along with those site teams and the messaging. Have we considered two things? What, and I'm wanting to help the district have what they need before we get too far behind in the messaging for the website, because just our own website right now has several doors almost to the same thing that aren't quite right, and we have 10 sites. So I'm looking to see what the plan would be for the one voice, meaning that the answers that are come in go into some sort of written form, and that there is consistently a team that is answering and going out. So as the information goes out and we build the trust of the community, they're getting consistent messaging and not, I talked to the principal who said, and then the telephone game happens. I'm looking to where we can marry that piece in and what you think you'll need to do that job well. Because I think that's the job, not necessarily just for the four-time report out from Clifford Moss. That's when people are apprised. It's when they get very specific, that they start specifically answering to the community that they're in misinformation. And that's a concern. So I'm hoping they'll ask for what you need, because I'm willing, as one board member, to stand up and say that part of the budget has moved this way in order to facilitate this correctly.
Yeah, and what you brought up is a really important thing, that consistency of message, and that's part of what Clifford Moss is going to help us frame with templates and certain language, and it's not just the four bursts. They are going to be helping us frame the whole package.
It's not so much that, just that, though. It's where is the hub within your organizational chart that these are going to? Are they all going to Clifford Moss directly? These types of questions and this sort of thing, because that's where the information highway gets crazy. And that's where the public, when you're out and you get these questions, that you want to make sure first that you're not answering them, that you're going to direct the people to get the answers they need, and hopefully in written form and written back.
So the project manager and project coordinator will be feeding things into the website. And we... So the project coordinator can be the one that posts the new updates, the timelines that come from the architects that will get updated with each article. And we're going to be updating that with those newsletters, too. So we're going to be sending them out that way as well.
So I guess that's wonderful, but what what as the community comes to me is they understand, they feel that's an appraisal of what's going on. But when things shift, I mean, will we have or can we have, is it something we've considered that each school has the very similar to what we put out here, here's your school, here were your sites, we were going to have X, we were going to get tennis courts, they were going to cost $10 million. Well, via this meeting and this engagement, it changed. We spent $25,000 on nets, everyone thought it was fine, the money shifted here, went back into the general, went back, whatever. That kind of visual answer to those pieces, those moving parts, I think, are needed, and however you can bring forward what you need for something like that, I think would serve us well. Those are the types of things that would get, for me as a board member, get me just back to the focus of the vision of the kids and education and not the whole of the piece. But
and we're pretty planning excited post shifts in budget, planning to post those budget updates that come to the board quarterly. It'll also be posted on the website, and that'll show adjustments made to each site budget and where those shifts are being made from. So that'll be a part of what gets put up quarterly too on the website. So those reports that Bardos does for the board will also go to the website.
So but can everything feed into one? Because when you go on our website, it'll say board, it'll say home, it'll say meeting dates, and they all sort of almost take you to an almost agenda, which, mm-hmm. you know, you had the right hand spoke to the left hand put up what they thought the right hand was, but it didn't comply with what it was, and there we were there.
Yeah, we'll have a direct button specific
okay.
on the top.
Just saying it
bam,
out loud.
Right
thank
there.
You. Thank you.
So, Jeremy.
Speak anymore.
Right. I think that, well, I'm speaking for myself, but I would like to see a 1.5 or 2 hour bond study session. I know how busy we all are, but I think that it's needed. And I would recommend that so that the board really can go into some depth on these questions, hear some more in-depth reports. Now that we finally have this bond project's organization chart, I don't think we need to do it right away, but once we know exactly the piece that Clifford Moss is going to be bringing to us, once we see, once that website is really up and running, once we get a whole bunch of information in terms of what Patty called questions from the community, once we have this bond oversight committee up and running, I think it really is in our interest. Say we're going to take 2 hours, and we're going to educate ourselves as a board. We've done some really interesting things. We could have stations. You know, you go from station to station if you want to go that way. And I just think that the more we know about the bond and all of its moving parts, and there are many, the better off we'll be when we make some of our upcoming decisions, which may be tough in terms of do we do this or do we do that. So that's my recommendation.
Would it be appropriate for us to talk at the governance meeting in January about when the best time is to schedule
that? Absolutely. I don't think
so
it
we'll put it on the agenda for the governance
that
meeting.
That would be great. And I think scheduling it too soon would be problematic, but I would like to see it. I'd like to see it by the end of the school year, though, yeah.
It might not be able to stop a question. The Patty's statement reminded me of when she was talking about who, where, you know, what's the hub, where do we point people? I was thinking specifically, where do we point people? Having just had a thing, the thing at Mission Hill, where there was the complaints about people coming over the fence and stuff, and trying to figure out, who am I supposed to tell this to at a time when it was a holiday? You know, so that it was more complex. And I think it finally got to you, Trevor, by way of Pat. Oh, okay. So I am wondering about that, too, because it's not going to be Clifford Moss. I mean,
so the hub for stuff for the board that comes to the board is me.
It's you.
So the hub for the board is always me. And then I get it out to the appropriate staff people. So as soon as I got that message, I got it to Paul.
Okay.
Okay, so the item, do you have a comment on the job description, Patty? Or
no,
the
no,
because we're going to talk about the bond at our next meeting, next week.
Actually, no. So it's a budget study.
Oh, it's budget. I'm sorry.
We will have more. We'll have a bond budget update on the December 13th meeting.
Sorry.
So there'll be time then.
Well, I was just looking for clarification, but thank you for allowing for reading the question that I had to.
I'm sorry, did I?
Yep, you did. Thank you. I just was hoping for a little more clarification around it. We'll be fine. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Okay, so the item before us is a recommendation to approve the bond projects manager job description as submitted.
I move. I so move.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you. I'm sorry, who was the second?
Me.
Thank you.
Okay, and our last item from the CD is the CENTCOM construction estimate.
Sure.
So as you're all aware, yes, we had a big tree fall down. Getting rid of those buildings is no longer an easy task. We have to abide by the rules of Monterey Bay Air Quality Control District, and they're interested in things like freon and other debris that comes off these buildings. So we had a file process. Due to the fact that it's not easy and everybody's busy, nobody's really interested in doing this work. I actually had to leverage one of our architectural partners to leverage this particular contractor to please come and help. Thankfully, they come to the one who can do it. We have the new building ready to go. It was originally scheduled to be delivered tomorrow because of the quality control board situations that got delayed. Hopefully, as soon as we can get this cleared up and out of the way, we'll have the new building ready to set. So this is all part of that insurance claim from the massive eucalyptus tree that smashed the building this last winter.
Any questions from the board?
Move for adoption.
Did you have any questions? I forgot to
move. Sorry.
You can move. It's fine. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, our next meeting is
Yes, it is. And Patty, I'll check in with you tomorrow morning about 5 o'clock on the 5th. Thank you so much. Anything else you want before I grab it up?
No, that's okay.
I'm recycling.
Okay, all right, thank you.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Nice to see you. That's what I do.